It is Friday, April 5th. I'm Scott Seidenberg.
And I'm AJ Hoffman.
It's Final Four weekend.
And the NIT champs are crowned.
Here comes the Vegas Truth.
This is Straight Out of Vegas.
We are Straight Out of Vegas AM, your daily destination for sports conversation with a Vegas lean. Here's what you need to know to start your day.
NIT ending women's Final Four begins today, Scott.
And the men's Final Four is tomorrow. College basketball, the lead, the Vegas lead, AJ. And well, let's start with a quick recap of the NIT final. And we saw Seton Hall complete an impressive run through the NIT, defeating Indiana State on a semi-home floor for Indiana State.
Yeah, I'd say semi is a kind way of putting it. But yeah, this was a wild game because Indiana State was down with 5 minutes to go in the game. They were down 70-69. They scored 10. They scored 8 straight points. Mm-hmm. They took a 79-77 lead, or excuse me, a 77-70 lead. And
with 2 minutes and 50 seconds left, this was a 77-70 ball game.
So an 8-0 run. Well, Seton Hall followed that up with a 9-0 run of their own.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, you talk about coming through in the big moments, 79-77 win, and Indiana State had a look for the win, came up just short.
Yep.
And a
terrible play, though, out of the timeout.
Yeah, not ideal, certainly. But the Indiana State turned the ball over too much, and they just couldn't overcome it. Normally, Seton Hall's the team that's a little careless with the basketball. That was not the case in this game. I said it was going to be defense versus offense. I had a 3-star out on the under, which
just
was,
barely came through.
Was a winner. But yeah, this was a nip and tuck game right down to the end, and this was a great final, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's hard to say these teams that didn't make the tournament are great teams.
These were two teams that deserved to be in the NCAA tournament.
I agree with that. Yeah, and
especially when you consider some of the performances that we've seen in the tournament this year. These are two teams that absolutely deserve to be in the tourney. Indiana State, though, what a meltdown. I mean, I had a same-game parlay last night that the only leg I needed was Indiana State money line. And felt really good about it when it was 77-72 with about minute 20 left in the game.
Yeah, but it was probably the only time of the game that you felt good about it. Because
The
most part, the right team won this game. Mm-hmm. Like, Seton Hall was the better team last night. And they controlled the game up until that 8-0 spurt that saw them, you know, basically blow the whole lead. And it was like, uh-oh, this is going to be like an all-time choke job.
Mm-hmm.
And then Indiana State, much like their Missouri Valley Conference brethren Drake, found a way to just go completely ice cold in the last couple minutes of the game.
Let's go over the final possession. So it's 77-72. Indiana State's got the basketball with 2 minutes left in the game. Missed three-pointer. Then they foul. Alamir Dawes hits two free throws for Seton Hall. Another missed three-pointer. Then Dawes hits his own three-pointer to tie the game. Indiana State calls a timeout. There's 58 seconds left. All right, let's regroup. Let's get some better looks on offense, okay? Another missed three-pointer. And then the Seton Hall layup with 20 seconds left. And then Indiana State with another missed three-pointer. Rebound, another missed three-pointer. So, like, it doesn't seem like they got good looks there, settling for threes on the final five possessions of the game.
Yeah, I mean, they were trying to. I always say this, man. If you can't get a shot to fall, go to the basket.
Yep.
Try to create some contact.
Go to the free throw line.
Yeah, that's the way to win these games. Or it's at least certainly you want to see the ball go through the basket, and that can really change everything. And just continuing to chuck up threes is just a recipe for disaster.
They were 9-for-10 from the free throw line. That is a team that does not attack the basket. That is a team that does not create opportunities at the line. Meanwhile, Seton Hall, 17-of-19 from the free throw line.
Yeah.
It's just a great performance. I mean, it's a shame. You know, some teams can take the kick in the you-know-what of not getting into the tournament, and they could take their ball and go home like St. John's. They could completely melt and have the players not care and lose in the first round of the NIT, or they can rally around each other and they can say, let's prove to the committee that they made the wrong choice. And that's what Seton Hall did, and you have to give them credit.
And this is a program-building win for, for Seton Hall. Shaheen Holloway, 2 years after he took St. Peter's to the Elite Eight, you know, to come miss out on the tournament, obviously a disappointment. But in a season where they went 13-7 in the Big East, a really good conference, to finish it off with an NIT championship, it certainly feels like Seton Hall is pointed in the right direction. Certainly feel like they've got the right guy now in Holloway. So, and again, I said this on yesterday's show, the question now becomes for Indiana State, what is the future of Josh Schertz? Because he's been heavily linked to the SLU job, and wouldn't shock me at all if that was his last game as a Sycamore.
Yeah, no, he's out.
Along with probably several of his players, which would, you know, in this day and age, that's the most likely scenario is he leaves, some players leave. And
yeah, no, Schertz is, the report is St. Louis.
Yeah.
He's going to go to St. Louis.
Yeah.
The Billikens?
Yeah.
Wow, look at me pulling that one.
Yeah, nice job.
The Arkansas job is available.
It is. And, boy, the rumors are flying on that one. Chris Beard, after 1 year at Ole Miss, is heavily rumored to be in the mix for that job. It's listen, Arkansas is a coveted job. They will put resources into their basketball program. They will spend money on basketball. They want to be really good at basketball. I don't know. I mean, it's a better job than Ole Miss, like for for the long term. But man, Chris Beard's quickly turned into that guy who's kind of a school jumper, and it's a tough reputation to shake. But you know, if you end up where you want to be, then so be it.
All right. What about Will Wade?
He's another guy. Wouldn't be shocked at all to see his name surface in this thing. He knows the area well. You know, being a Louisiana guy, or having had so much success in Louisiana, that's certainly a job that he'd be interested in.
We'll keep an eye on that. Tonight is the women's Final Four, and the action will get started with the number one team in the nation, the undefeated South Carolina Gamecocks, taking on the 3-seed NC State. How about that? NC State getting men's and women's teams
pretty impressive,
into the Final Four. It is impressive. South Carolina, an 11.5-point favorite in this game. And then the matchup of the night that everyone's paying attention to, Paige Beckers, Caitlin Clark, number one seed Iowa, number 3-seed UConn, Iowa, 2.5-point favorites. I know you're not going to be locked into this, AJ, but is it the story, is the most intriguing storyline here if Iowa wins so we can get the Iowa-South Carolina game?
So here's where I'm at with this. I fully believe that the powers that be in college basketball want Caitlin Clark in the championship game against an unbeaten South Carolina, because either way, it's a great story.
Yep.
But Caitlin Clark's the star. Let's face it. They need her in that story to make it I mean, this has already been a boon for women's college basketball.
Sure.
It's like this tournament's already been a massive success, but that'd be such a cherry on top for them. Again, I don't watch women's basketball. I'm not going to pretend to be some kind of an expert, but I will say, if there was going to be a favorable whistle, and I've read a lot in this women's tournament that favorable whistles have happened.
Yep.
If there was to be a favorable whistle, I would imagine it would be in the favor of Iowa. So
I would agree with that. I think Iowa's the play, -2.5. I know there's threes out there. Search for the 2.5. Give me Iowa -2.5, and then maybe we'll pull a Fez, and we'll bet on South Carolina.
That's what I'm looking for. I mean, this is something that Fez and I talked about weeks ago. Mm-hmm. If there's somehow South Carolina gets to the finals and plays against this Iowa team,
the line's going to be deflated.
Yes.
Because the public will come in betting on Iowa and Caitlin Clark, when in reality, South Carolina is that much better than them, and the spread should be higher.
And the thought is not only the spread, but we should be able to get a solid money line on it, because books are going to have exposure.
Oh, because everyone's going to bet Iowa money line
championship. Yeah. So there should be a cheap money line price on South Carolina as well. Relatively cheap. They'll be favored. Don't make no mistake. South Carolina will be favored should they play. But I think there'll be a discount.
So here's the look ahead line right now. If it's Iowa against South Carolina, South Carolina -4.5.
Love it. I love it. That.
And the line, the money line is -198 compared to the +164 on Iowa. I'll tell you right now, the -198 is absolutely the play.
I think you're right.
Because it seems like maybe that should be a bit higher. But if you're getting south of -200 here, I think that South Carolina money line. If it's South Carolina, Iowa, that's the move. Other
let's take a look at something. And so for an example, I mean, it's actually lining up about right. So although there's a 5.5 point spread in the NBA tomorrow, Thunder and Pacers. Exact same money line that you're laying here with South Carolina. So it should be a little bit of value on that money line, but I think there's value on that point spread. Should that be the actual game?
Other potential championship matchups, North Carolina State against UConn, UConn -4, NC State against Iowa, Iowa -6, UConn against South Carolina, South Carolina -6.5. We shift our attention to the men's Final Four, which will get underway tomorrow. Game one, the 11 seed, Cinderella, NC State in the Final Four for the first time since 1983 in Jim Valvano. They take on the one seed Purdue. Purdue 9.5 point favorites, AJ.
Yeah, I've talked about this quite a bit, that if this game happened at the end of the regular season, this would have been a 20-point line. Purdue was 20 points better than NC State at the end of the regular season. NC State's won 9 games in a row. Like, you have to give them some credit. Purdue's been pretty dominant as well. So I just think there's too much value on this Purdue team. The numbers don't line up for me. It's scary playing against NC State right now. They found a way to hang around in these games, but they're going to dominate the glass in this game. This is an elite rebounding team taking on a team in NC State that is in the bottom half of the country in both offensive and defensive rebounding. And what DJ Burns has done in this tournament is bully guys. He bullied Kyle Filipowski in that Duke game. He pushed him around. Good luck doing that against Zach Edey. Like, this is a mountain of a man.
Yep.
And he does that thing where he leans back on you, and then once you put your weight on him, he spins off one way or the other and usually has a good look at the basket.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's going to work against Zach Edey. Like, I don't think Zach Edey's going to even budge under the weight of DJ Burns. Like, he is a literal giant. I just think there's too many edges for Purdue here. I'm not eager to go lay this big number because Purdue's not really a team that is looking to blow teams out. Like, kind of the opposite of UConn, who we've seen, like, go into destructo mode and want to hurt everybody's feelings.
Yeah.
This Purdue team's trying to survive in advance. So I'm not crazy about the number. I do think that a great prop is going to be Braden Smith assists. And this is a guy who...
6.5?
6.5 is the number. I mean, we've seen his assist numbers have just been through the roof in this tournament. I mean, he's double digits most games because the process is simple. It's throw the ball into the paint to Zach Edey, let him turn around and lay it in. Now with Zach Edey, who's going up against now a 6'9" big man, he's going to have some success at the rim.
You told me an incredible stat the other day, and that was Zach Edey's dribbles.
I mean,
he doesn't put the ball on the floor because every time Smith is just lobbing it into him, and then he's just going right up with the basketball.
It's unbelievable. I mean, it's less than 5 dribbles per game.
It's amazing.
I mean, it's unbelievable what this guy does, but nobody seems to be able to stop it. Good luck.
Well, once he puts his arms up in the air, he's just bigger than everybody. Yep. And that's why all Smith has to do is just lob it up in the air. He jumps up and gets it, and then it's a quick hook shot, and it's in the basket or a dunk. And then if he gets fouled, he gets to the free throw line.
Yep.
I'm going to keep that nugget to the side here because I want to build not just the same game parlay. I want to build the same game parlay plus.
Okay.
So what that means is we're going to combine 2 same game parlays for the Final Four. Sound good?
Sounds good.
Okay. So let's go to the second game here. UConn 11.5 point favorites over Alabama.
I'm done getting in the way of this Alabama team, to be honest. This UConn team. I've had egg on my face. I thought they were going to lose to Auburn. Like, Auburn didn't even get to the game.
Yeah.
I thought Illinois could push them. And for a half, Illinois played really well, and UConn played their worst half in a month, and UConn still covered the first half line. They're on a different level right now. And there's a world where Alabama just goes crazy from outside and hits a bunch of threes. It's entirely possible. What they can't do, they're so reliant on rim and three. That's like Nate Oates' philosophy at its core, is we either get to the rim or we shoot threes. Doesn't believe in the mid-range.
They're not getting to the rim with Kling in there.
You can't get to – I mean, Illinois banged their head into a wall trying to go at Donovan Kling and it got nothing. This is an elite – This is an NBA big. Mm-hmm. Like, there's questions about how Zach Edey's going to translate. Donovan Clingan is going to be a starting center in the NBA. Mm-hmm. So, like, this is a legit, especially on the defensive end, a legit big. I just don't know how Alabama gets any points at the rim there. They're going to have to shoot threes, and they're going to have to hope that they hit, like, 60%, because the truth is UConn hasn't even gotten hot yet. UConn's shooting just 28% from three in this tournament. And the closest game they've played is a 17-point win. Mm. I mean, so even with bad shooting, they are blowing teams out. And this is another game where one team just has a massive edge on the boards. UConn is an elite offensive rebounding team. Alabama, 272nd in defensive rebounding. There's just going to be too many possessions for me. I think that they're able to because Alabama plays fast. That's what they want to do. They want to keep it going.
Yep.
And they're going to want to get shots up. But, man, I think UConn is going to score at will against this Alabama defense. My favorite play in this game is the UConn team total over 86. Right. I think they get there pretty easily, actually.
Looking at NBA Draft Net's mock draft, they have Clingan going 33rd overall, Zach Edey 36th overall.
I don't believe that one single bit. I would make a major wager that if Donovan Clingan, if both these guys are in the draft,
yeah,
Donovan Clingan goes well ahead of Zach Edey.
So not just three spots ahead.
Not just three. I'm talking
way
like
more ahead.
10, 15 okay. spots ahead.
But does that sound right? Like Edey would not be like he'd be like the 36th pick in the draft.
That's, I mean, I've seen some things where he's starting to get mocked into the first round.
Yeah, but like late first round.
But yeah, there's real questions about. Like, what is your offensive game? It's he doesn't do any, like we just talked about. He doesn't dribble.
He's got no post moves.
No, yeah. He is. I mean, it's throw the ball to him and he's a giant and no one can stop it. In the NBA, that doesn't work because there's other giants who can actually play. Not to say that Edey can't play. I'm not trying to say that. I'm just saying he is an example of a guy who is a dominant college basketball player whose game doesn't appear to translate. He doesn't have quite the athleticism you would think he'll need to translate to the next level. I'm not trying to knock him. It's just, he doesn't seem like that guy to me.
That makes a lot of sense. All right, let's talk about this potential for a same game parlay plus. We were successful in our same game parlays that we gave out for the Sweet 16, cashing on both of them last week, Thursday and Friday.
It's a good feeling.
Yeah, plus 400, plus 375, plus 380, depending on which book you were at. So both nights cashed. And now we're going to run it back for the final four.
Okay.
But not just any same game parlay.
Let me guess. You want to get greedy.
Oh, I want to get very greedy. Well, we gave out two same game parlays for the Sweet 16. So we're going to give out two same game parlays for the final four. But this is going to be a same game parlay plus. So we're combining both games.
Okay.
Now, if you want to bet these individually, the numbers that I'm going to give you are going to be plus 228 on one side, plus 274 on the other side. But collectively, the SGP plus, plus 1126.
Okay.
Now that's a payout I can get behind.
That's a strong payout, no doubt.
Here we go. Leg one for game one, Purdue moneyline.
Easy, yeah.
No objection?
No objection from me.
No objection. No. Forget the points. I want nothing to do with the points.
I'll let that slide.
Purdue moneyline.
Yeah.
Second leg. Zach Edey over 13.5 rebounds.
I love that play. NC State, a bad rebounding team. Obviously, Zach Edey, a monster. And if NC State decides to zone, it's just going to lead to more open opportunities for rebounds for Zach Edey, which there's a possibility that he does. Because, I mean, it doesn't do a lot of zone, but a lot of teams, that's what they try to throw at this Purdue team. That's kind of that's what you try to do when you don't have another answer. So
I see him in, like, the 16 to 18 range in this game.
I agree with that.
And the final leg of game one, Braden Smith over 6.5 assists.
Obviously, I love that one. Yeah, that's the one that I just gave out. So, yeah, I love this same game parlay. This is a winner.
So the first three legs. No, we're not done yet.
Okay.
This is a same game parlay plus AJ.
Okay, all right.
So the first three legs for game one, Purdue moneyline, Zach Edey over 13.5 rebounds, Braden Smith over 6.5 assists. For game two, now if you wanted to bet that individually, like I said, it's plus 228, but this is the SGP plus. For game two, UConn moneyline.
Okay. I can get down with that.
You'll allow it?
Yeah.
You'll allow it. Okay. 11.5 point favorites. I don't want to do it. Forget the points. UConn moneyline.
All right.
Leg two, Donovan Klingon over 9.5 rebounds.
I love that, too.
No one really on Alabama can out-rebound him.
No. And Alabama's not a good defensive rebounding team, like I said. And UConn, I mean, what I've noticed with this UConn team, they haven't been great shooting the ball, but they're going to shoot. And I know Alabama's going to shoot. And Alabama...
lots of shots means lots of chances for rebounds.
Yeah, that's my thought.
They got to go to somebody.
They got to go to somebody. Klingon is the best rebounder on the floor. I expect him to be a vacuum.
Okay. Now, the third leg to this. Now, I understand the first group, we were very pro-Purdue. These first two legs were pro-UConn. But I'm actually going to go to the Alabama side for the third leg here. And I'm going Mark Sears over 2.5 three-pointers.
I love this as well because I just said, you can't bang your head against the wall that is Donovan Klingon. They're going to have to shoot. The one guy who I know is going to shoot is Sears. And there's some discussion on whether or not Reitzel is going to play in this game.
Mm-hmm.
If he plays, he's going to take away shots from some guys. He's not going to take away shots from Sears. Sears is the dude. He's going to get his looks. He's going to hit some threes. Otherwise, Alabama's going to lose by a million.
Just need him to hit three.
I think that's very possible.
Go 3 for 8.
That'd work for you.
That works for me.
All right.
Let's look at his game logs here so far in this NCAA tournament.
Mark Sears is what we call a confident shooter.
Mark Sears against Clemson, 7 for 14 from three-point range.
That'll do.
He was only 2 for 7 against North Carolina, but no one could shoot in that game.
No.
Right? We saw RJ Davis go 0 for 9. So 2 for 7. He was 5 for 11 against Grand Canyon and 3 for 6 against Charleston.
Yeah.
Just give me three. Give me 3 for 14.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. This game for Sears is going to look a lot closer to the Clemson game as far as attempts goes. Like, I think his stat line is going to be probably the Grand Canyon stat line, 5 for 11. That's what I think he's going to finish with. He'll finish with 20.
That's an easy win then.
20 somewhat points, but it's going to be all for naught since UConn wins the game.
Yeah.
Okay. So to review, the three legs for the UConn game: UConn money line, Donovan Klingon over 9.5 rebounds, Mark Sears over two and a half, three pointers made. That by itself plus 274. We combine that with the Purdue game at plus 228. The same game parlay plus six legs. Plus 1126.
That's a big payout. That's a greedy payout.
Cash it.
All right.
Just 5 games in the NBA last night, but all 5 had postseason implications. The Sixers defeated the Heat 109-105. Tyrese Maxey with 37 points, 9 boards, and 11 assists. Joel Embiid had 29 points. On 11 of 25 shooting, the Sixers, now looking at the Eastern Conference standings, are in the 8th spot. They are 1 game back of the Pacers for the 6th.
And only half a game behind the Heat. Like, this is they've I've said this yesterday, this was an important game to them. Mm-hmm. Obviously it was. And now we do know with last night's results, we know which teams are in the play-in round, at least we know the teams that are eliminated from the playoffs. We know who the 10 teams are that have a chance to make the playoffs now.
In the Eastern Conference. East. Yes, for sure.
We're down to 1 in the West, and it's pretty close at this point.
Very, very close. All right, here's elsewhere last night as we'll go over the standings with each and every game, because like I said, every single game last night had postseason implications. The Knicks beat the Kings 120-109. Jalen Brunson with 35 points and 11 assists. The Knicks right now are your 5 seed in the Eastern Conference, tied with the Orlando Magic for the 4 seed and a half game back of Cleveland for the 3, 2 games back of Milwaukee for the 2 seed. As far as the Kings are concerned, they are currently the 8th seed in the West, 1 game back of both the Pelicans and the Suns. Phoenix currently in that 6th spot.
How are you feeling about the where the Knicks are sitting right now? I know this was a team that you thought had a good chance to be a top 3 seed.
Mm-hmm.
They still do. I mean, they're only a half game behind the Cavs, who are in the 3 hole. But what's your thoughts on how they're playing right now?
Well, I'd feel a lot better if I knew that Julius Randle was going to return. Julius Randle is not going to return. He's going to undergo season-ending shoulder surgery. So that does sting, especially with how well the Knicks are playing. And really, it's if OG Anunoby returns, which he has been cleared for contact. We don't know when he's going to come back, if he's going to come back. If OG comes back, We know what the Knicks do when OG plays. So I think that this team could be dangerous. Even if they don't fall into a top three or four seed, I think with OG playing in the playoffs, the defense playing like they do, this is a dangerous team in the postseason.
It'd be good for the Knicks to get out of this five spot because the hottest team in the East right now that's not named the Boston Celtics is the Orlando Magic.
Yep.
So that's probably a team you'd love to avoid if possible. I don't think you want to fall to the sixth seed.
No.
But if you can either make sure that you get that home matchup with the Magic or avoid them altogether, probably in a good spot.
Yep. Knicks remaining schedule: at Chicago, at Milwaukee, at Chicago, at Boston, home to Brooklyn, home to Chicago. So
sounds like you got a couple very winnable games in there.
I don't even know what Milwaukee is. So.
I don't either. What we do know about the Bulls is the Bulls are playing in the play-in games. They don't have much to play for.
They have nothing to play for.
So.
And they're not going to rise out of the nine.
No.
So they're locked into the 9-10
matchup. Elimination, basically.
A single elimination where they have to win two games. So it's like they're locked in. There's no need for them to even, you know, push it down the stretch. So I think that's a good spot for the Knicks to be in playing them three times. The Mavericks with a 109-95 win over the Hawks. Luka had 25 points and 12 boards. Dallas right now is sitting in the five spot in the Western Conference. They are one game up on Phoenix, two games back of the Clippers for the four seed. As for the Atlanta Hawks, they right now are the 10 seed.
The same position as the Bulls.
Yeah, but they're just playing for who's going to be the home team
right.
in that matchup. Because they're about a half game separated between the two. The Warriors, a 133-110 win over the Rockets. Steph Curry scored 29 points. Big win for the Warriors as they right now are the 10 seed in the playoffs or in the play-in game right now. The Rockets, they've lost three straight. It was a long winning streak. We thought they had a chance. They've lost three straight now.
Now they're four games out with six games to play.
Yeah, with that loss last night, that kind
to your direct competition.
That kind of solidified it. Had they won last night against the Warriors, it'd be a different
story. They'd be alive, yeah.
Be three games back. But they're four games back here, and it ain't looking good for the Rockets. And the Nuggets and Clippers, a lot of drama there. Jokic missed the game-winning three at the buzzer. There was a 7-point swing in this game when Malone, the head coach of the Nuggets, got ejected after a missed foul call.
Terrible missed call.
Terrible missed foul call. But the Nuggets now, like, they lose 102-100. Like, think about that loss now. That probably kills their chance to get the one seed in the Western Conference. Like, right now, they're a half game back of Minnesota, and that's, you know, Minnesota's got the game in hand.
Yeah.
So Minnesota wins the extra game. Now they're a full game back, and Minnesota has the tiebreaker. So they would have to exceed Minnesota.
Yeah.
So now instead of being one game back, you're actually two games back, if that makes sense, right? Because they lose the tiebreaker there. So,
The good news for the Nuggets is this. One, you've got a head-to-head matchup with the Timberwolves at home, which is a big deal.
But that's only one.
That's only one of the two games
you need.
But the rest of your games are Hawks, Jazz, Spurs, Grizzlies.
Yep.
I mean, these are about as winnable. It's about as winnable of a slate as you could ask for down the stretch.
And Minnesota's got some tough games. Phoenix, Lakers. They do play Washington, Atlanta.
Schedule favors the Nuggets. The spot right now certainly favors the Timberwolves.
Yep. And as for the Clippers, they are currently the four seed. They are four games back of OKC, who is the three. But they're two games up on Dallas, who is the five. Let's take a look at the schedule for tonight. In the NBA, the Magic are at the Hornets, Orlando laying 11.5, Thunder at the Pacers, Indy 5.5-point favorites, Blazers at the Wizards, Washington laying 2.5, Kings are at the Celtics, Boston 9.5-point favorites, Knicks visit the Bulls, Chicago a 1.5-point favorite, Heat are at the Rockets, Miami laying 1.5, Pistons at the Grizzlies, Memphis 1.5-point favorites, Raptors at the Bucks, the free-falling Bucks. Milwaukee 16.5-point favorites. They've lost two straight now as double-digit favorites. They cannot lose this game.
They can't, but I've got no appetite to back them, certainly. I mean, this like you said, there's something
Toronto has lost 15 straight games.
I get it, but I mean, Toronto's a bad team.
They cannot lose this game.
Losing outright to awful teams right now, I'm not laying for honestly, a big number with that team.
I feel like this is a bridge jumper bet. Milwaukee cannot lose this game.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not making it.
I mean, they can lose this game. Chances are good they're going to be the 2 seed no matter what. I mean, it's you know, it's hard for them to screw it up, but
so embarrassing.
It's a bad look what's going on in Milwaukee right now, and particularly for Doc Rivers, it's a bad look.
Spurs are at the Pelicans. New Orleans 11.5 point favorites. Warriors at the Mavericks. Dallas laying 5.5. Timberwolves are at the Suns. Phoenix laying 3.5. And the Jazz visit the Clippers. LA 13.5 point favorites. Big news in Major League Baseball as the A's are moving to Sacramento.
That's not Vegas.
Well, they'll be in Vegas eventually, but starting next season and for at least 3 seasons, the Oakland A's will be the Sacramento A's, essentially.
Will their attendance go up or down?
Oh, it will go up.
I think it has to.
It will go up. They are going to be playing in a minor league ballpark in West Sacramento. It ends the 56-year run in the East Bay for the A's. It's a 3-year lease with an option for a 4th year should the Las Vegas ballpark not be completed in time for 2028. It's going to be, they're playing at Sutter Health Park, which is home of the Sacramento River Cats, the Giants AAA affiliate.
It was home, right? Are they going to still play?
They're going to share. Yep.
Oh, wow.
Share.
Okay.
Yep. The stadium holds 14,000 fans.
Yeesh. Well, I doubt 14,000 are going to show up at an A's game, so they're probably in good shape.
I think they'll get there. I really do. I think
they'll have a couple games there where they sell it out. You might be right.
I think the city will embrace them for sure. I think they really will. Yesterday in Major League Baseball, the Mets went 13 straight innings without a hit. They lost game one of the doubleheader with the Tigers 6-3. That put the Tigers at 5-0 on the season, the last remaining unbeaten team in baseball. And the Mets dropped to 0-5. And 1-0 Tigers into the ninth inning when Pete Alonso tied the game with a solo home run. And then the Mets walked it off for the 2-1 victory, their first win of the season. So they split the doubleheader. Congratulations to the Mets.
Here's the question, and this was one of the ones that I didn't really understand. Like, the Mets, their season win total, I think, if I'm not mistaken, was right around 81, right?
Yeah, right around 500 team.
How did we think this team was going to be better than they were a year ago? Like, they got rid of all the players that made people think they were going to be good a year ago. They replaced Max Scherzer and Justin Verlander with guys.
Yeah.
Like, how did you expect?
Well, the thought was that they have an owner that was supposedly willing to spend money, right? They got their closer, Edwin Diaz, back. They went out and signed J.D. Martinez, who will eventually make his season debut. I mean, they signed him late into the spring, so he'll eventually make his season debut. And then, you know, you still have Pete Alonso. The problem is Francisco Lindor, who was one of their big signings, you know, for a couple of seasons now. I mean, Lindor is off to one of the worst starts of his career. Guy can't hit.
Francisco Lindor, mm-hmm, starting shortstop. Jeff McNeil, starting second baseman.
Yep.
And Brandon Nimmo, starting left fielder.
Yep.
Hitting 157. Combined.
Yeah. Yeah, it's embarrassing.
Combined.
It's like Gary Cohn said, anything that can go wrong will go wrong.
Like, if I don't mean like their average is much lower than 157, yeah, total, mm-hmm, but I'm saying if you add their three batting averages together, mm-hmm, it's 157. That's pathetic.
It's pretty bad. Also pretty bad, the Washington Nationals, Pirates with a 7-4 win over the Nats.
I don't like to brag, but your boy called this one yesterday. Yeah. I don't make bets on baseball very often, but this was fade Josiah Gray. That's what, yeah, I said. Let's fade Josiah Gray. It worked out.
Pirates 6-1 to start the year. Well, my fade was just of the Miami Marlins.
That seems to be a good call.
Yeah. The Marlins are now 0-8 to start the season as the Cardinals defeat Miami 8-5.
What's unbelievable is Fez has this bet for over under longest losing streak of the season. He's, mm-hmm, got over 10.5 games in a row lost. He's 3 losses away from cashing it already.
In the first week plus of the season.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, how unbelievable would that be?
That's incredible.
It is really. I'm cheering hard against the Marlins right now. I want a world record bad start for the Marlins.
And my best season win total was the under 78.5.
Oh, they're dreadful.
Really good right now. Guardians a 4-2 win over the Twins, and the Royals beat up on the putrid White Sox 10-1. Boy, it seemed like that was a missed opportunity for a free bet.
I mean, the Royals aren't a team that you're probably excited to back, but
fade the White Sox.
Yeah, the White Sox are dreadful.
Today the Yankees will host the Blue Jays in the home opener in the Bronx. Yankees are 6-1 to start the year. Marcus Stroman will start the home opener. New Yorker, it's a nice story for him, starting the home opener there for the Yankees. The Yankees are -165. You say Kikuchi will go for the Blue Jays.
I say Kikuchi.
I say Kikuchi.
Yes.
The Yankee game on Monday was actually, there was some little drama here. The Marlins-Yankee game on Monday has been pushed back because of the solar eclipse.
What? Pushed back how far?
It was supposed to be a 2.05 p.m. Eastern time start. They pushed it back 4 hours to 6.05 p.m. because they did not want to play through the eclipse because it could have led to potential in-game delays. And the ballpark will open at 3 p.m. The first 15,000 fans to arrive will receive a Yankees solar eclipse t-shirt.
Oh, that's cute.
So really buying into that moment. Just don't look directly at the eclipse.
No, you'll miss the rest of the game if you do that.
Yeah, absolutely. The A's are at the
Tigers. Because you'll be blind.
Yes. A's are at the Tigers. Detroit -250. Dodgers at the Cubs. Dodgers -175.
Can I stop you quickly on that A's line?
Mm-hmm.
I know the A's are really bad. Don't get me wrong.
Yep.
But it feels like they've been more competitive so far this season as far as like a 1-6 team goes. Should they still be getting these +210 types of numbers against? Well, I guess it's Skubal on the mound.
It's Tarik Skubal on the mound for the Tigers, and it's the home opener for Detroit. So I lean towards Skubal and the Tigers.
Okay.
Yeah. And now if it was Paul Blackburn going for the A's, it's a different story. J.P. Sears, not so much with his 12.27 ERA. For the Dodgers, it's going to be Bobby Miller on the mound. For the Cubs, Kyle Hendricks. Rays are at the Rockies. It's the home opener for Colorado. Tampa Bay -170 with Zach Littell on the mound. Austin Gomber goes for Colorado. Orioles are at the Pirates. It's the home opener for the Pirates. Grayson Rodriguez will start for the Orioles, who are -140. Jared Jones starts for the 6-1 Pittsburgh Pirates. Giants home opener. They are -120 against the Padres. Dylan Cease going for the Padres. Jordan Hicks getting the start for San Francisco. The Mets are at the Reds. Cincinnati -125 as the Mets are coming off the doubleheader yesterday. Jose Quintana goes for New York. Hunter Green for Cincinnati. Phillies are at the Nationals. Philly -185 with Aaron Nola on the mound. Patrick Corbin goes for DC.
Aaron Nola got absolutely drilled by the Atlanta Braves in his first start.
That's the Atlanta Braves.
I imagine he's going to be better. I don't know that I picture things improving for Patrick Corbin.
No, this is a great bounce back spot for Aaron Nola after the bad performance against the Braves. Speaking of the Braves, they are -270 favorites in their home opener.
That sounds like Spencer Strider.
Spencer Strider is starting. Tommy Henry goes for the visiting
Diamondbacks.
That's a
made up person, Tommy Henry.
The Royals are -190 favorites over the White Sox in Kansas City. Eric Fetty going for the White Sox. Brady Singer for Kansas City.
Are you taking the free money today?
It just feels like it. It really does. Like, and the White Sox are so bad. This is a bad team. Astros are at the Rangers, and Houston's -135 with Hunter Brown on the mound, and going for the Rangers is Cody Bradford. You like Brown? Is that your boy this year?
I like guys who throw a lot of strikeouts, who strike out a lot of guys. Yeah. He's a strikeout guy, so he's probably my favorite pitcher in the rotation. He's not the best pitcher in the rotation, but he's my favorite one to watch because he gets after guys.
I'd be interested to see how Blanco does this weekend, you know, coming off
for sure.
No-hitter. You know, you would think that there'd be a decline, but it's actually some studies have shown that it's actually not. Like, the pitchers actually do
build up
well.
Some confidence,
after the no-no. It's still like I'd have to go crunch the numbers again to see if it is a true fade spot like the common belief used to be. Elsewhere, the Mariners are at the Brewers. Milwaukee -125 with Freddie Peralta on the mound. Logan Gilbert goes for the Mariners.
Feel like a first five under?
It feels like
a good pitching matchup, right?
It feels like a Mariners first five.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It feels like a Mariners first five.
All right.
The Red Sox are at the Angels. Cutter Crawford for Boston. Griffin Canning for LA. It's an even split, minus 110 both ways. NHL last night, some big wins for playoff pushes. The Penguins defeated the Capitals 4-1. Islanders, a 4-2 win over the Blue Jackets. So let's take a look at that wild card standings in the Eastern Conference. The Islanders are now in position of that second wild card at 83 points. The Penguins, with that win over the Capitals, keeps DC at 82 points. But now Pittsburgh, who has won three straight, is up to 81 points, just 2 points shy of that final postseason spot. The Red Wings also at 82 points, still in the mix. Elsewhere last night, Lightning a 7-4 win over the Canadiens. Panthers rout the Senators 6-0. Bruins a 4-1 win over the Hurricanes. Predators a 6-3 win over the Blues. Avalanche 5-2 over the Wild. Jets 5-2 over the Flames. Kings 2-1 over the Sharks. In the Western Conference, the race for the wild cards, Minnesota might as well be out of it right now. St. Louis, outside chance.
They're way outside chance, right?
It's likely not happening.
So nobody's locked in, but it's pretty close to locked in.
It's pretty close to locked in. Nashville's got 92 points. The Kings have 91 points. The battle right now that you're looking for in that Western Conference is who's going to be the first wild card. Because and everything's up for grabs in the final six games of the season here. Because Dallas is in first place in the Western Conference at 105. So they would play the second wild card team. Vancouver is second place at 102. So they would play the first wild card team. But we don't know who the first wild card and the second wild card is going to be. Also, look at the Pacific Division, where the Vegas Golden Knights have 92 points and right now would be slated to play in the Pacific matchup against the Oilers. Or LA has 91 points, they could surpass Vegas, and then Vegas drops into a wild card spot where they're either playing against Dallas or Vancouver.
It certainly feels like if you're one of those top teams, you'd probably prefer to avoid Vegas and Nashville.
Yes.
I mean, those two teams both seem like they're on fire right now. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we know Nashville's got, Vegas has the pedigree of winning a Stanley Cup last year. They're going to be strong in the playoffs. But yeah, you'd much rather catch the Kings or maybe even the Oilers, who are 3 points ahead of those teams. But it may be better to play them than one of those two teams that are just on a tear right now.
Absolutely. Let's take a look at the games for tonight in the NHL. The Flyers are at the Sabres. Buffalo is minus 125. Rangers at the Red Wings. New York minus 140. Capitals at the Hurricanes. Carolina minus 270. Avalanche at the Oilers. Edmonton minus 130. VGK at the Coyotes. The Knights are minus 165. Kraken at the Ducks. Seattle minus 165. I lean towards the Knights tonight. It's a tough place to play in Arizona. Like, you think it's a pushover. It's not.
But they've done well there. The Knights have done well there.
Arizona.
And they've
fights.
Got something to play for. You just talked about the Knights are making a push. The Coyotes are eliminated.
That's why I lean towards Vegas in this one. They got to avoid dropping down to the wild card. So I think that they want to put themselves in a position where they are remaining in that top three in the Pacific Division. I think Vegas, they also have a game in hand over the Kings, which is huge. So I think Vegas handles their business tonight in Arizona, Mullet Arena. Make sure you guys head to pregame.com where we have a great offer for you to save some money and get bulk dollars. Bulk dollars never expire. You can use them at pregame.com for any purchase at any time. Currently, we're running a great bulk dollar offer. 20 gets you 100. So if you buy $20 of bulk dollars, you get 100 bulk dollars. That's like, you know, four best bets, three-star best bets for the price of less than one. But here's what we're going to give you for being a listener of this show. If you use our promo code SHINE20, S-H-I-N-E-20, SHINE20, you can take 20% off any purchase at pregame.com. That includes all of the discounted MLB season packages, whether it's the all-access through the All-Star break or the all-access for the whole season through the World Series. That already discounted price going to be discounted another 20% if you use the promo code SHINE20. Plus, you can take advantage of the bulk dollar bonus at pregame.com. And if you're looking for more sports betting content, including free picks, highlights, viral videos, and breaking news, make sure to follow us on X, TikTok, Instagram, @pregame now, and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Pregame TV. For AJ Hoffman, I'm Scott Seidenberg. We are Straight Out of Vegas AM.